Yeah, the maggot-infested penis.
Yeah, yeah. The maggot-infested penis. We saw it last night.
God.
It's not in person, but we did see a video of... I think that guy was dead. You can't live with a dick like that.
I would imagine that you can, because you can live without a dick, but I would say that you don't want to, because...
With maggots crawling around your... How are you pissing? Are you just pissing
through
the...
I don't know. I mean, maybe he was dead.
Maggot holes?
Maybe he, like, recently died, but I feel like that was an infection that had been incubated for a long time.
Yeah. It was pretty gross.
This is, speaking of dicks... It's the Kane train.
Yeah,
this is Gibby Kane.
Yeah, this is Pat Kane. We're back for a Halloween special.
Yeah, right back at ya. Just coming in hard.
Coming in hard and strong. Just like, what's hard and strong that isn't offensive? What do we care, though?
Our will
hard
to survive.
Our will to survive. God damn it. that's right. I was going to say a big throbbing dick.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't
into
you?
Into a willing mouth.
You would say that.
Yeah.
Well, I did say speaking of dick, so good segue.
Yeah.
To
ooh,
the
this
next
is hot segment. Shit.
Yeah. Oh, careful. Don't spill it on my super...
I know. You got a fucking expensive computer. You're
nice,
rich. We got
fancy it. Little Mac here. Sweet little angel.
So we haven't had a podcast in about a month.
Yeah.
Or so.
Has it been that long? I know it's past our anniversary for a year.
So, yeah, we've been doing the
that.
Podcast for over a year, but we missed 5 weeks.
It was just there wasn't really any good reason. I just got lazy.
I mean, I just kind of got lazy. I was prepping the... I think we prepped for one episode, and then I just...
We were getting
was kinda
busy.
Like, I was like... We were just trying to finish up Game of Thrones or something, and then I think that was like...
Yeah.
And then the week after, we're like, we missed 1 week, what's two? And then the third week, I think I said, you know what, I'm done with the podcast. We don't need to do it anymore.
And I did the same thing, and I was, like, kind of sad about it, though. And I was like, I don't know if I'm, like, into this. And then one of my coworkers, I guess my boss, one of my bosses, so many bosses, she's talking to me at the Halloween party this past week, and she's like, so you do a podcast, right? And I was like, yeah, I do, don't I? Yeah, and I was like, I think I'm going to see if we can bring that bitch back. Nobody listens to us, but I guess I don't really care.
Well, that's not true, because I've had several people come up to me and they say, how's it, you know, podcasting? Some people I work with that I've told about the podcast, other people just find out I'm a podcaster and then they check it out and then they tell me
aww,
they like it.
That's sweet. I didn't
so,
know that.
I still like doing the podcast. I just don't know if we're going to hit every week, which, you know what?
We're never going to ask for money, and
I'll tell you one thing. That's kind of our pledge right now, is that...
We're never going to do this for cash, and
I will say...
Never going to take on fucking advertising.
We're gonna not going to do, like...
We're not promoting.
Casper mattresses or Mack Weldon.
Yeah, we're not doing that shit, because I can't stand it.
I would actually do that if somebody did one up, because I am about to go on hiatus... So if anybody would like to sponsor Kane Train, actually, let me know, and I will treat. I guess that's something else too. Is like,
and I'll
I
be
just,
vehemently
I just
against
was
it.
Like, you
the
know,
whole time.
I'm like, well, I'm up for a break. What's the point of not doing the podcast? I have time to kind of, since I produce it and all that stuff.
Hell yeah!
There's a lot of extra time I put into editing and all that stuff afterwards, so I have time to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
Today's my last full week of work. But I got some other things brewing. Other pots on the stove, things on the iron.
Yeah, I mean...
But it doesn't mean I can't do the pod now. So...
Yeah.
I feel good. I know every time we do the show, I do feel good that we've done it.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like our little... I don't know. I don't know really how to look at it other than just our little... You know, we're co-parenting something, which is fun.
Yeah, I think so. It's good to have a project with your significant other that is especially if you're two creative people, a creative endeavor together.
Matt and Lisa are doing that.
Yeah, they have their long-lost comic. They've definitely... Matt's a writer, Lisa's an artist, and I can see that that has helped both of their careers out and, you know, their relationship out by doing it. You know, you just bond with somebody you work with.
Mm-hmm.
That intimately, so it would make sense that if you could do something with your spouse, you would.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of creative couples that collaborate together, so this is a good project for you and me, because we like making stuff. We like making stuff on the regular.
We like talking.
We do talk.
We talk a lot.
So yeah, I wanted to do something specifically. It was like, it just felt fun doing something for like Halloween. And we just did the Samhain Gala, last podcast on the left, Samhain Gala. We were there last night.
That was amazing.
It was cool to see like all the Last Podcast Network people there. They had like all the shows were represented. Movie Signs with the Mads, Last Podcast on the Left, Wizard and the Bruiser. Ableton's Top Hat. I mean, they're all kind of like...
What are the gossip ones? Page 7. Sex and Human Other Activities.
Well, Page 7 wasn't there because Molly, she wasn't there. But Jackie was there. I mean, I guess there was somebody for
I don't really listen to those ones.
But anyway, they're good. You should check them out. We drank afterwards and talked with most of those people about podcasting and how fun it is. We talked to Holden McNeely about podcasting, about Wizard and the Bruiser. And that was fun to just kind of like get his take on what he thought of podcasting. From his background
that
as
was
a writer
interesting.
And stuff, and I was like, "Oh yeah, you know what? We should get back to it. It's not.
Well,
you know.
It's about connecting on a certain level too. Like he admitted, and I was like, "Yeah, that's." I was like, "Oh, cool. All right." Because you seem, sorry, but like, a dick.
No, not at all. I don't know. I don't know.
No, him on stage. I think he's just different.
I think that's
on stage.
I think that's his stage persona.
I think yeah. I think he's when he's having fun, he's a dick. But like talking to him was actually really. Enlightening.
Yeah.
And nice. Talking to all of them.
Ben.
Obviously.
Kissel,
yeah, and Ben Kissel.
Very cool. Running
yeah,
for
such a nice guy.
Right now.
And he's the nicest guy.
Yeah. Everybody there is rad. So, yeah. Check them out.
Yeah.
For sure.
I feel like most people have. I was going to say something. I lost it.
We just had a really full-on
weekend. I'm 25 years old, and I stayed up till 4 a.m. for the first time since I couldn't tell you, maybe since we drove here, and I feel wrecked. And
yeah, today's been rough.
I am, like, not able to party as much as I used to, but I am, like, determined. Like, I have like, the passion, but not the wherewithal. But I didn't drink that much, because I kind of was starting to feel like shit, and I was like, I'll just not. So that was good. So, I have restraint. Yeah. But, yeah. I feel like I'm dying.
I know. I need to drink some... I realize I fucking haven't had anything but coffee today because I've just been so tired. And I'm probably so tired because I'm dehydrated.
Bro, you need to be drinking water. I've been pounding it. But I also got high. Like, really high. Like, I'm super stoned now. But it's funny. I can give, like, a dissertation stoned and you wouldn't know the difference because I act high when I'm sober just
and
to
I
keep
go to
people
bed
leveled.
When I'm high. So I stay away from it.
Oh, do you want to talk about your new development?
What?
You got something
on my face.
Your face.
I have a mustache.
Yeah.
Some chick thought I was Ed Kemper.
That's fucked up.
The serial killer. Actually, very nice couple we met last night. Not just some random person, but we met two people dressed as the Menendez brothers. It was hilarious. I was like trying to guess their costume. I was like, what are you guys? They were wearing like sweaters and stuff.
I know. Her name is Lucille. I can't remember his name.
Robbie.
Yeah, yeah, really nice.
They were very cool.
But I feel like you meet just the most charming people. Like, sometimes you meet some weirdos, but we're all... But, like, on another level weirdos. Like, some... Like, what was that one time we went to that bar after the last show, and it was... Two guys were just sitting there, just like, so what's your favorite serial killer?
Yeah, they were... They Well, they were just trying to make conversation, but it's kind of awkward when you don't know... Like, other than you have Last Podcast on Left in common.
Like, yeah, I was like, dude...
You're gonna talk about fucked up shit.
Whoa. I was like, I mean, you knew...
But I'm open to that.
I just
wasn't...
Anybody
wants to talk about...
I thought it was, like, weird.
Scary things.
Yeah. But you can also be a normal person, too, and still like those
fine
things.
They were harmless. They were harmless. But it's Halloween, so do you got any... Are we good to kind of start the segments?
Yeah.
Are you cool with that?
I'm okay with it.
Do you got scary things to share? Because I have two scary things to share.
I want
to
hear your scary shit, but I do, like... Man, I fucking love scary stories, though. Like, I just want to take a moment and just appreciate, like, good, scary storytelling. Do you think you can handle that?
Do you have one?
No.
I don't have any... I don't have, like, a scary... I just have kind of, like, news things.
Oh, hit me with it.
All right.
Let's do it.
You're, like, misleading. I'm like, you have a scary story to tell.
Well, I was going to talk about communism.
What?
So
this is the fucking Halloween episode. So I'm gonna, you're gonna research something scary.
No, I do have something. I don't know if scary is the word, but I have something alien in nature.
All right.
If that's okay with you.
No, that's fine.
Jesus.
That was Calm down. That was funny. I was like, oh, she's gonna talk about.
Dude, I am Halloween. Like, I'm not worried about it. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's like, no, we have to make a big deal. It's like a very specific thing. And I'm like, listen. Just have fun with it, you know? You don't have to, like, drown yourself in it. Just spread it out throughout the year, you know?
That's so funny. All right. So you want me to go?
Please. Ladies first. Sorry. Age before beauty.
Sorry. Had to burp. Hope that didn't disrupt your eardrums too bad.
Jesus.
So this is from MovieWeb. Patient 17 trailer exposes the truth behind alien abductions. So this is a story about a documentary that's coming out soon.
Mm-hmm.
This was reported like a month ago. So it might be out already. Let's see. Dr. Roger Liar. That's funny. Liar. For real? Dr. Roger Liar.
Boy, that's a name I would change. You know, I'm not gonna.
Say, we're gonna give him the benefit of the doubt and say Lear. No, we're gonna just say it's Lear.
What? How's it spelled?
L-I-E-R.
I'm not sure.
It sounds like liar.
Huh?
We're gonna say Lear just because it sounds like. I don't want to speak too biased because I like I like the idea of keeping an open mind.
Huh.
We'll go with that. Dr. Roger Lear is a polarizing figure in the world of UFO enthusiasts, and the new mystery documentary, Patient 17, seeks to provide more information about Lear and his beliefs. Roger Lear claims to be a leading surgeon that removes nanotechnology from human beings that were placed in them by aliens from another planet, another world, and Patient 17 looks to verify the authenticity of Lear's. Well, oh shit. It actually, it changes from, it's this fucking article. I don't know, his name actually might be Lear because later in the article it changes over to L-E-I-R-S, or L-E-I-R.
All right.
So maybe they're trying to be like.
I'm glad that they're at least attempting to get it right.
Yeah. Wow. Claims through the thought-provoking documentary. The real-life Patient 17 is a man from Southern California.
Oh, shit.
That's where we are. In his 40s and claims that he has been visited by aliens when he was a child.
Hmm.
Lear recently put him under the knife to remove a metallic object from his calf, which he believes was put there by extraterrestrial beings.
Uh-huh.
The official synopsis for the documentary reads, quote, meet a surgeon who claims to remove highly advanced implants and nanotechnology microchips embedded by aliens. Non-humans monitoring our Earth. Discover the world of abductions, scalar wave transmissions, and a program to study or manipulate the human race. Armed with a patient and scalpel, black lights, and a stud finder. Hey, stud finder right here.
That's what they call your stash.
Hey. We seek to verify the authenticity of the alleged off-world implant technology. That's all capitalized. Filmmaker Jeremy Kenyon Locker Corbell, whoa, what a name! JKLR, JKLC, we'll say. Who? What fucking believable person has three last names?
I don't know any.
That's pretty. I don't know, personally. I don't know, bud. I don't know what's going on there. And interviews him and Patient 17 at length throughout the course of unsettling movie that is sure to raise a few eyebrows. Patient 17 is the latest in a series that Corbell calls his, quote, investigative film series through his Extraordinary Belief Productions. A podiatrist by training from the late 1980s, Roger Lear became increasingly involved with his local branch of Mutual UFO Network, or as is commonly known to the UFO community, MUFON.
Oh no.
Attending one of his, what do you
red
mean?
Red flag. Uh-oh. Red flag.
They're the official. They have lanyards, man. And polos. Embroidered polos.
Hmm.
MUFON. MUFON. Check him out. I know I am. At a certain point, I'm going to get one of those.
Are you serious?
Oh, for sure.
Lord have mercy.
Attending one of its conferences in 1995, he was presented with several foot x-rays from a woman who believed that she had been abducted by aliens. Despite Lear's skepticism, the scans did not indicate that there was something in her big toe, and to satisfy his curiosity, he offered to operate on her free of charge. On August 19th, 1995, he extracted two very small foreign objects from the patient, each one metallic in appearance. A second patient underwent surgery the same day for an object about the size of a watermelon seed between his thumb and index finger. I guess that would be like kind of in that meaty part of your hand.
Well, yeah, I guess the web.
That chunk. Very difficult to heal if you injure that.
That's true.
Let's see here. By the late 1990s, Lear's findings had established him as a prominent, though controversial, spokesman for the alien abduction and UFO communities. The Aliens and the Scalpel, detailing his experiences with implant surgery, was published in 1999. That's The Aliens and the Scalpel, capitalized. So yeah, that's a title
book. What year was that?
1999.
Okay.
Followed by Casebook, Alien Implants. He made appearances in various television documentaries, including the History Channel's UFO Hunters, and attended conferences in more than 40 countries. In 2003, he traveled to Varginha, Brazil, to conduct his own research into alleged crash of alien craft that there 7 years previously. An event dubbed the Brazilian Roswell. I think I've heard of that.
I have not heard of this.
I think I watched like a YouTube documentary about it. The investigation... There's a lot of shit in South America. Like,
yeah,
a lot of sightings.
Well, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, like Kim K's butt injections.
What?
Yeah, you like that? Because they're known for their...
otherworldly qualities? I don't know.
No, it doesn't matter. I was talking about Botox and plastic surgery.
She probably got that done here in America.
You think?
In all honesty, yeah, probably. I mean, shit, we live in, like, she probably
went to... We do have some of the greatest medical care.
Or most willing.
In all the world.
Yeah, to do. Or test things to their bodies. Yeah. The investigation formed the basis for a final book, UFO Crash in Brazil. Dr. Lear died in 2014 at the age of 79, and patient 17 aims to dive into his studies that many believe to be completely fabricated. Discover the world of alien abductions in the new trailer for the Orchard's Patient 17, armed with a patient, a scalpel, black lights, a stud finder, blah, 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 blah. We read all that.
Excuse me.
It's available now, October 10th, and on demand October 31st. So that's coming up in a couple days. You'll be able to check out Patient 17.
And how?
I'll be checking it out as long as it's free. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't expect anything.
I might check it out. Sounds cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's aliens. That's the aliens section of my scary, scary stuff bit.
Well, I also have an alien related thing.
Yeah, let's go. Let's hit.
You like
let's
that?
let's do aliens, and then I've got like a another scary topic after.
Just be so into this. So I want to talk about this article that I found on Fox, so you know it's super reputable. Mystery object might be first visitor from another solar system.
Cool.
So, yeah. It's out there. The truth is out there. Astronomers around the world are trying to track down a small, fast-moving object that is zipping through our solar system. Is it a comet? Is it an asteroid? NASA's not sure. The space agency doesn't even know where it came from, but it's not behaving like the local space rocks, and that means it may not be from our solar system. If that's confirmed, NASA says it would be the first interstellar object to be observed and confirmed by astronomers. We have been waiting for this day for decades. Paul Chodas, manager... Chodas?
Chodas.
What, do you think that's funny?
Sounds like Donald Trump should be the Chodas. Not the POTUS. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was
the part of flesh between your fucking
legs. Listen, I don't think...
Legs.
Pause for a second. I don't think we should... ever talk about politics, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm sick to death of it on every other podcast.
It's a joke. Fuck you.
Yeah, but I wanted to talk about this.
Go ahead.
I mean, that was it. I just wanted to, like, just say that.
All right. I'm going to edit this out, so.
Wow. It's fucking bullshit. You would. Paul Chodas, manager of NASA's Center for Near-Earth Object Studies. Can you imagine? Said in a NASA news release, it's been long theorized that such an object exists. Asteroids are comets moving between stars and occasionally passing through our solar system, but this is the first such detection so far. Everything indicates this is likely an interstellar object, but more data would help to confirm this. So they don't know.
They don't know.
They don't fucking know. NASA says astronomers are pointing telescopes on the ground and in space at the object to get that data. So, they're still guessing. For now, the object is being called A-2017 Space U1. Experts think it's less than a quarter mile in diameter, and it's racing through space at 15.8 miles per second. So, she's fucking
gunning it. 15.8 miles per second. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fast. That's really fast.
I mean, it's fucking, yeah, it's, don't want that to come our way. It was discovered October 19th by the University of Hawaii's Pan-STARRS 1 telescope on, not even gonna try it, just in Hawaii. Rob Work, a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Hawaii Institute for Astronomy, was the first to identify the object and immediately realized there was something different about it. Its motion could not be explained using either a normal solar system asteroid or comet orbit, he said. This object came from outside of our solar system. Whatever it is, the object is not a threat to Earth, which is always said before any movie that stars Will Smith. You know what I
they're
mean?
They're really panicking right now. I'm like, how are we gonna fucking blow this
up? There's like lights going off and there's like alarms and
when
shit.
When is it supposed to like intersect with the planet?
I think I've got some more information on that, but I'm not sure yet.
Isn't that fucking nuts? Like, anything could come at any time and just nail us.
I mean, that's kind of how it is, like, on the Earth, too. Like, anything could, like, come in and fucking wipe us out. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna die.
Well, there's, like, a protective, like, layer over us.
Yeah, that's true. It could break up, but it probably would still, I don't know how big it is. I don't really understand, like, but anyways, where is it going? Scientists think that the object is heading towards constellation Pegasus and is on its way way out of our solar system. This is the most extreme orbit I have ever seen, said David Farnocchia?
I don't know, babe. I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Farnocchia? Yeah. A scientist in the Center of Near-Earth Object Studies. It's going to be extremely fast and on such a trajectory. What we can say with confidence is that the object is on its way out of the solar system and not coming back. It may eventually get bigger, but since the object is first of its kind, the International Astronomical Union will still have to come up with the new rules for naming the object. So it's so out of like our comprehension as well, because it's so weird.
Because it's just so large, or?
It's going, like, it's come from super far away. Like, super far away. Like, it is deep, deep, deep space. Like, we don't fucking know. It's like Star Trek Voyager.
So it might be
Deep Space Nine.
I think it might be a vessel.
So the way it's traveling is indicating that it's probably not a comet. Or that's what I'm getting from it. I don't understand, like, I don't know, but it's an asteroid or a comet, but it doesn't, like, explain why it's coming from outside of our universe, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh.
You gonna sneeze? Okay, he wants me to keep going. So, bless you, from what I can understand, it's just a weird fucking thing, and everybody's kind of sounds like they're not sure about what's going on with it.
Damn.
And I'm like, what the fuck do we pay you guys for? Like, is it an alien or what?
It's definitely, alien technology, maybe.
I mean,
I don't know. I'm always thinking it's a vessel if it's acting, like, different than a rock moving through space. Like, what else other than rocks
But can you fucking imagine? Like that. Oh my god, what if 2017 ends with aliens invading? Oh god, that would be so frustrating.
No, it wouldn't. Everybody would like actually. We'd actually like fucking. We'd have to unite as a species. Like, it would be the first time our species united against something.
That would be.
Our species has never been united over anything ever. Ever.
I really just, like, do in part.
That's what General MacArthur said when he was, like, old and dying. He's like, it's gonna, you know, the famous World War II general.
Yeah.
I think he was in the Pacific Theater.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say. Patton was, like, Europe. MacArthur was Pacific. Anyway, he was, like, all about the next war is going to be the fucking big, like, otherworldly war. Whenever we fight next, it's going to be from another planet.
That's pretty fucking crazy.
Yeah.
To think about.
Yeah, dude.
I don't know. I feel like I've really dropped the ball in learning, like, I'm entertained by alien stories. I just, like...
I think we definitely wouldn't be entertained if it was a real threat. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Who's to say?
That's like, what makes it so interesting. Nobody's really likes ISIS, but it's also like.
No, nobody does.
They're still humans. Like, we may have to fight alongside ISIS to fight the aliens. You know what I mean?
I think that we would still maintain like human prejudice. You know what I mean? Like, I think that would still exist. I think there would be like a bit of a, because it's like a zombie apocalypse too.
You think there'd be just some that just use
mankind
it to
the,
there probably
also
would be like some Cersei Lannister like type of shit, just like,
yeah, I think
just let them fight the war and they'll die.
Well, with this current administration, I'm just kidding, I'll never talk about politics.
You want to get political? I thought you
nope.
just said you didn't.
Nope. So yeah, wait, how far are we in?
We gotta keep... Don't look at the fucking clock. Keep going. Actually, this works better bouncing back and forth,
yeah?
I think. So, then I'll go. Are you done?
I am.
All right. So, I'm gonna go into my bit, and then we'll jump back to you. Does that work?
Yes, that works.
All right. This is from the aptly named website, Relatively Interesting.
I wonder if it's interesting.
Fucking who knows. Depends on if you like this kind of shit. The top three scientific explanations for ghost sightings. This is from Neil Dagnall from Manchester Metropolitan University. From ghosts to ghouls, witches to wizards, Halloween is one of the is the one time of the year when people come together to celebrate everything supernatural. But beyond the fancy dress and trick-or-treating, belief in ghosts is actually relatively common, with 38% of people classifying themselves as believers. And a similar number having actually reported seeing one. The term ghost refers to the idea of the spirits of the dead, human and animal, influence the physical world. And the idea of a haunting can often include anything from a sense presence or objects moving to spirit activity. But in the world filled with science and reason, these quote-unquote hauntings can often boil down to a very simple explanation. Here are the top three scientific and psychological explanations for haunting, spirits, spookiness, and all things supernatural. Although it should be noted that many important questions have yet to be resolved. Number one, because I told you so. Attempts to explain hauntings often draw upon psychological factors, such as suggestion. So being told a place is haunted is more likely to lead to ghostly goings-on.
Yeah, no shit.
One classic study saw participants visiting five main areas of a theater before completing a questionnaire to assess their feelings and perceptions. Prior to the tour,
assess their feelings. I've just been feeling really sad.
I really want to see a ghost. Perceptions. They just have fucking, like, shit over their eyelids. They just...
You know, no, it's just,
their,
like,
their actual perceptions are bad. Prior to the tour, one group was told that the location was haunted, while the other group was informed that the building was under renovation. Surprisingly, participants that were told the place was haunted experienced more intense experiences, similar to those of paranormal happenings.
Uh-huh.
Verbal suggestion has also been shown to increase paranormal perceptions, such as research on seance phenomena, paranormal key bending, and psychic reading. Especially when the suggestion is consistent with existing paranormal beliefs. But research in the real-world setting has produced inconsistent results. A study in the supposedly haunted Hampton Court, which I think I've watched, like, haunted places in the world. Like, it's
featured. I have not.
Found that suggestion had no effect on participants' expectations or of experiencing unusual phenomena or their tendency to attribute unusual phenomena to ghosts. So it is fair to say that the effects of suggestion vary depending on a person's beliefs, and of course, paranormal believers are prone to endorsing alleged paranormal phenomena, while skeptics will deny the existence of the paranormal. Number 2, electromagnetic fields and spooky sounds. Other explanations draw on environmental factors such as electromagnetic fields and infrasound. I don't know how that's recorded, but I guess that's kind of like when they turn the mics up to, you know.
Isn't that how they get the deep underwater sounds, like, that they are recording?
I suppose, yeah. It's like less of a...
It's weird.
Like this, like recording with just a mic and...
Science, I don't understand.
Actually, like recording vibrations or something like that. Canadian neuroscientist Michael Persinger demonstrated that the application of varying electromagnetic fields to the temporal lobes of the brain could produce haunting experiences, such as perception of a presence, a feeling of God, or sensations of being touched. And it has been noted that areas most associated with haunting, such as Hampton Court, do possess erratic magnetic fields. That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Similarly, infrasound, audio frequencing below the range of human hearing. So, yeah, like you were the deep ocean, like sound recordings we've heard of, like the bloop and whatnot.
Yeah.
Look that up. That's kind of cool, though.
I love the bloop.
What the fuck is the bloop?
Hell yeah, man.
That's also a suggestion, though. Like,
it's the fucking Kraken. You know. That's what it is. The Leviathan. It's an old god.
Could be. Is also thought to be able to explain such phenomena. Several studies have linked infrasound and bizarre sensations. In one example, contemporary pieces of live music were laced with infrasound, and the audience were then asked to describe their reactions to the music. More unusual experiences were reported when infrasound was present. Chills down the spine, feeling nervous, waves of fear or uneasy or sorrowful emotions.
Weird. Oh.
I mean, your mind is a powerful...
Very weird.
Powerful fucking, you know.
Yeah.
Dang. Fuck. Okay. Sorry. My scrolly bit was broken. Number 3. Toxic hallucinations. Quote, supernatural perceptions can also arise from reactions to toxic substances such as carbon monoxide, formaldehyde, and pesticide. It has also been suggested that fungal hallucinations caused by toxic mold could stimulate haunting-related perceptions.
Oh, hell yeah, the Salem witch trials. Ooh.
Yeah, they were eating the fucked up, like,
Yeah, they were eating the bread that had the mold on it.
Yeah, they were, like, tripping from the... Uh-huh. What was it called?
Yeah, I suck. I should... I taught you about it.
It got into the grain, though. And it was like all the bread in the town was, they attributed everything to fucking the devil.
Yeah, but the thing about that was, I just remember it was bad rye, and
yes, it was rye.
What the fuck was that? God damn it! It was basically fungal LSD.
Yeah, it was a hallucinogen. Anyway, sorry. Shane Rogers from his team from Clarkson University in the U.S. observed similarities between paranormal experiences and the hallucinogenic effects of fungal spores. This may explain why ghost sightings often occur in older buildings with inadequate ventilation and poor air quality. Mm. The notion is not new to experts who have been previously reported a similar effect associated with old books. They claim that the mere exposure to toxic molds can trigger significant mental and neurological symptoms, which create perceptions to those reported during haunting experiences.
Ooh, weird. Ugh, that makes me want my parents to go get their attic checked out.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm always, like, checking for mold and shit around the house, just because I'm like, more because I just don't want to die. But also, you know.
It's also gross.
You don't want to fucking, like, affect your health because you're just, the air you're breathing is shit. I had to replace the goddamn air filters in this place.
Oh, Jesus. Their
fucking maintenance sucks, and I was like, we've been here almost a year and they haven't, clean this, I'm gonna look at it. And it looked fucking horrifying.
I'm totally okay with, like, taking on maintenance shit like that on my own, because it's a quality of life thing.
Yeah, it was bad. So. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting. We got a little ghost stuff. We got a little alien stuff.
I love that, though. I really love that, because it's so fucking true, because I absolutely hate... Remember Ghostwatch? We talked about that.
Ghostwatch is tight, though. Like, I fucking want to believe. I am Fox Mulder. I just haven't seen anything conclusive to make me believe in anything.
I've never had...
But I want to believe.
I've never had an experience where I feel like I'm relating to, like, something supernatural and evil. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've had experiences where I could say that that was possible, but I really know, like, deep down, I'm like, but I honestly feel like if I hadn't been told about it, I wouldn't have felt that. You know what I mean?
That's why people kind of...
Power suggestion.
They talk about, like, the Boggy Creek Monster, like, people... That movie was, like, a pseudo... It was kind of the first pseudo-documentary, like, cryptid movie. Mm-hmm. People blew up their spot, basically, like, this family that was featured prominently. They would, like, go to the land to try to find it, and then people started saying they saw it. There's a Bigfoot in Ohio. There's all kinds of stuff.
Oh, yeah, Jess swears she saw it once.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, and honestly, like, if I had spare time... And I fucking have spare time. We might go to, like, up to Vancouver at some point. Like, go to that, like, Bigfoot Island that's up there. There's a fuck ton of bears, but...
Maybe.
I would like to go there to maybe see if I could see something, because I think it's kind of interesting to go to those places. Even if they don't have... even if it's not there.
The Mothman. We went there all the fucking time.
We drove through it, yeah.
Yeah, that was... I mean, that's a cryptid, too. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, like, these places have an energy about them that does sort of have power in spite of science saying everything of, like, well, there's nothing here really special. But it's like, but there is something here. Like, we've just attributed... We humans just attribute meaning to different feelings and places and stuff. So if you hear a story about a place, as we're apt to do, we like the idea of something... out there that we don't know about, you know. Mm-hmm. you're gonna value those things in a way that, even if deep down you're like, ah, who knows, probably not, but you'd still go just because it'd be like, well, you know, what if I have an experience? Like, you're still wanting that experience in spite of everything to the contrary telling you, because fucking life is so unpleasant. Real life is unpleasant. I think that's, you know,
because life is shit. We're all looking for escapism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just looking for something to escape to. But anyway, you have one more
thing? I do. I pulled it up and then I was like, well, I don't know how I feel about it, but I think because it's just so current. But I got this article off of Bloody Disgusting. Horror franchises impacted by potential Weinstein Company collapse.
Oh, heavy.
Yeah, that's kind of why I was like, well, do I really want to do this?
Well, no, I want to know about it now. Because Dimension Films is kind of, that's owned by, like, the one, like, Bob Weinstein, he runs it. And that's, like, the Scream movies, fucking Hellraiser. That's right.
Halloween,
all that shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, last week, Colony Capital reached a preliminary agreement to provide much-needed cash to the Weinstein Company, which has been thrown out into turmoil by allegations of sexual harassment and rape against its co-founder, obviously Harvey Weinstein. Unless you're living under a rock, you know. Colony was also given a limited period to exclusively pursue the purchase of some or all of the Weinstein Company assets.
Whoa.
They're gonna fucking buy them out, which is... fucking good, I'm glad. But those plans have changed, explains the NY Times. Colony has not and will not provide a cash infusion, according to the two people briefed on the matter.
Oh, really?
Who spoke on the condition of an anonymity. God damn it.
Anonymity?
Yeah, I could just fucking...
Anonymity.
On Wednesday to discuss private deliberations. They further added that Colony saw bankruptcy as the most likely near-term outcome for the studio. This potentially could put the Weinstein Company assets, which include Dimension Films, into auction. Even more disturbing. I feel like that's every exec's nightmare. There are other options, which means that we're going to have to watch and see how everything unfolds. Still, it got me thinking what assets are held by the Weinstein Company that could be freed, like Michael Myers and Halloween, who both snuck their way out of the company over a year ago. obviously, my first thought was, what's going to happen to Wes Craven and Kevin Williamson's Scream franchise? Our understanding that Miramax no longer has any involvement, which means it's possible this asset could be up for grabs. What of MTV's Scream series? Have you seen...
I don't watch any of it.
No, but there, have you seen any adverts for it?
I've seen that it exists. It's like on MTV, right?
Yeah, yeah. The series' forthcoming reboot, it's been fully casted and allegedly had already begun shooting for
the
a March
TV
release.
Show?
Yeah. Interestingly, we discovered that Netflix had secretly been producers on previous seasons, and could they still be back in the series in the event of a Weinstein bankruptcy? Or could the rights be tied up? That shit might get good. Cut too, which is actually kind of fucked up. It's really affecting, though, I feel like, some people who aren't, like, necessarily, like, tied to it, you know what I mean? Like, it's just having, like, repercussions for, like, a lot of innocent people, too. Because if that gets cut, then I feel like, right? People don't get paid?
Don't worry about those people.
I just feel bad for
them. They're fucking rich. I mean, like...
I guess. I feel like there's some people who maybe not, but, yeah. Probably.
But I mean, like, that shit happens. You're gonna get involved with a project, and then that can happen. You're just, that's like entertainment. It takes so much to get anything made.
It really, well, you know, especially.
Yeah.
I feel like you've really seen some.
You have to go through so much bullshit just to get something created.
Yeah, it's wild. I feel like it's crazy. I don't understand anything about that process, but I feel like it's so complicated and dependent on whether somebody likes you. You know? Or if you're rich enough.
Yeah.
Anyways, other things that are going to be affected. They were going to do sequels. The Weinstein Company were going to do sequels for Clive Barker's Hellraiser and Children of the Corn. Like, another fucking... Like, 2 years ago. Like, another sequel to the sequels. But it was done as a bid to retain the rights with allegedly no intention of release. U.S. Horror... Which makes sense. U.S. horror fans have suffered through this for decades now, with Inferno, Hellseeker, Deader, The Hell World. It would be interesting to see if both franchises will be free from the grasps and in the event of a bankruptcy. For now, there are two films collecting dust, Children of the Corn, Runaway, and Hellraiser Judgment, which all sound awful.
That fucking, Hellraiser, the last Hellraiser movie I saw, they recast Pinhead from...
No.
What's his name? Doug. Some horror fan out there probably knows this. Fucking Doug something. They recast fucking Pinhead, and I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And the movie sucked, and I was like, fuck this.
You know, it's just
and
like,
and then
let
Children
it go.
Of the Corn, I saw the reboot from like 20 fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. Was it 2010
or
2011?
Oh, I forgot about that.
It was fucking trash.
Oh, it was awful.
Yeah, I was not into that.
There's also the Amityville horror franchise, The Awakening. It's just,
when it comes to these franchises, you know what? I'm just like, move on. Like, if you refuse to make something good, and you're just like, let's try to make what they try to do with these horror franchises, they try to just fucking take the name of the franchise because they know it has a built-in audience to some extent,
mm-hmm.
and then they just try to remake something for way, way, way cheap. They just try to make... They do that all the time with horror. They try to... It's probably... Because horror fans just like horror movies. So it's like, they'll just take...
You're not wrong. It's like crack, dude. It's addictive.
Yeah, but newer horror movies that... You know, I'm trying to think. What was a great reimagining of something? Like, the only
reimagining?
Good, of, like, a franchise. It, okay. That's a good example.
It was a very good reboot.
But by and large, you would say that anytime a movie gets remade, most of the time, especially if it's going straight to streaming or straight to DVD, it's going to be crap.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's made for extremely low budget. Not to say that they wanted to make a crappy thing, but it's like, it's hard to make something good. It's hard to make something in the first place. So to make something good is extra effort. So if that means extra money, they're not going to do it.
Yeah, well, that's why new filmmakers, they're also inexperienced for the most part, because new filmmakers break into horror first, because it's cheap, one.
But there's really great original horror
and everybody's
stuff
doing
saying.
It, because it's really easy to do. You can
there's
also...
Like, The Void.
Evil Dead. I mean, look at that.
Yeah, The Void, I'm talking about new stuff. It Follows, Beyond the Gates.
The
I saw so
the
many...
The Witch.
The Witch, like, really, you know, probably those aren't franchises, but I would say those are probably some of my favorite. The Guest, some of my favorite. I'm probably gonna watch that tonight. Actually, I've been meaning to watch The Guest. Yeah.
Oh hell yeah! Great soundtrack.
But, you know.
Oh, Bad Batch. I would count that as horror.
Yeah, that's kinda. Like a horror movie. That's like a, yeah. Anyway, all good movies to check out around this time of year.
I mean, it's not Halloween yet. We still have a few more days.
Got a couple days, but this weekend is kind of, that's like the big, you know.
I might wear my horns on Tuesday. Fuck it, you know.
Do it.
They're pretty comfortable and easy to wear. So.
So. Yeah. Anything else we want to talk about?
Well. Do you want to talk about your costume that didn't happen?
Oh, I'm glad it didn't.
Yeah?
Way glad. Because it was cold last night.
It was pretty cold.
I was like...
Oh, your little bits would be cold.
My costume was Lieutenant Dangle. So it was, you know, Reno 911's Lieutenant Dangle. He has, like, the short shorts and stuff. It was a funny costume. But then I was looking at the weather, and I was thinking, like, being comfortable and, like, being out. And we ended up walking the bars afterwards and all that stuff. That would not have happened if I was wearing that.
Well, I'm glad that you were comfortable, which is always my number one rule of Halloween. You have to be comfortable, otherwise, what's the fucking point?
That's right.
Yeah, I was just
But I'm gonna. There's a couple more parties. I'll probably whip it out.
Yeah, if we go to something on Tuesday night, fuck yeah, man.
Word up. So.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Do you want to do housekeeping?
Yeah. CaneTrain at guttertrash.net.
Don't know.
CaneTrainPodcast@gmail.com. That's nice. The email. I'll check that actually after this episode to see if we've gotten any emails.
Oh man, it would make me just
as long as we do a show next week.
Delighted. It would make me so happy to know.
CaneTrainPodcast, Instagram, and at CaneTrainPod on Twitter. And Gibby's gonna start.
Yeah, and I'm gonna start getting my shit together with that.
And start, because she wanted to take over and use it more, so she's gonna start doing that.
I got a little tired there for a second, but I'm back. I was planning for October. Listen, my shit was going to take first priority on that. All right. You can follow me at Gibby Kane.
Yeah. Follow me at Bat Stains.
And
let me think if there's anything else before we say it.
Mm-hmm.
Happy Halloween.
Girl, bye.